Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are.
Open our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. We'll be reading from verse 18. I don't know if somebody has Amplified Bible there. That would really help. Romans chapter 8. We'll be taking it from verse 18. Okay, please can you help us take the reading? Amen. And in us and for us. Thank you, ma'am. It says, for I consider from the standpoint of faith that the sufferings of this present life, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us. It says, I consider from the standpoint of faith that the sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us. For even the whole creation, all nature, waits eagerly for the children of God to be revealed. Are we together? It says, and for the creation was subjected to frustration and futility. Now, I want to encourage us, don't be distracted. It's you and Jesus this morning. Amen. And you will receive from the Lord in the name of Jesus. It says, for even the whole creation and all nature waits eagerly for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration and futility, not willingly, but because of some intentional fault of it on its part, but by the will of him who subjected it, in hope that creation itself will also be freed from the bondage of decay and gain entrance into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Now, I will just exegete a bit on verse 18. It says, for I consider from the standpoint of faith that the sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us. It says the sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. The question, one of the first questions, where is Timothy? Someone should help me reduce this volume. There's this feedback I'm getting. One of the first questions that you will ask is, what sufferings? It says the sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us and to us. What sufferings? That's question one. Question two, what is the glory that will be revealed in us? How will this glory be revealed? What is the nature of the revelation of this glory? Amen. So you will see already here that it is already revealing that there is a glory that will be revealed. And the glory has not yet been revealed. Amen? Do we get that point? There's a glory that will be revealed
and the glory has not yet been revealed. It says, for even the whole creation, all nature, waits eagerly for the children of God to be revealed. It says, for creation was subjected to frustration and futility, not willingly, but by the will of him who subjected it. Who is the one that subjected creation to futility? God. It says, but by the will of him who subjected it in hope. What is this hope? God subjected creation to futility, to corruption. The speaker yesterday was talking about the corruption. How that the whole of creation became subject to corruption. And how man also has been made subject to corruption. That is the reason why we grow old. That's the reason why things, you know, the law of entropy. Things don't get better. If you leave your shoe, if you buy a brand new shoe for 100,000 and you leave it in your bedroom and don't wear it, if you come back next year, even though you didn't wear it, it's not going to be newer. It's going to be older. If you don't, if you leave it long enough, after some time, it will condemn. There is a system of corruption that have been set in motion. And that was not the way God created things. If you know God, amen. God is perfect. The way the world is today is not the way God created the world. How horrible things are happening. People are dying before their time. There's so much wickedness, natural disasters. That was not God's, it is something that happened to the earth. And something that happened to humankind. Because, as the speaker said yesterday, and he will be speaking this evening, because humankind, who God put creation under, fell. Creation also was brought under subjection to corruption because of the fall of Adam. And we see in this scripture, what this scripture is saying is that the sufferings of this time, this is speaking to believers, is nothing compared to the with the glory that will be revealed in us. So I said, the first question you ask is that, what sufferings? The second question you will ask now is that, what glory? How is this glory? And I will just quickly, even though that is not part of the main thrust of this sermon, I will just quickly try and explain it. You see, when God created Adam, Adam was created with glory and in glory. That was why Adam could name all the animals. That was why Adam did not need cloth. Adam wasn't going around naked. He was covered in glory. Do you know what it means to name all the animals? Now, when he said he named all the animals and whatever he called them, that is what they were. It means that he was the one that gave them their programming. Whatever he called them. We don't know the language Adam was speaking. Because if Adam truly named the animals, and we think he just said, you are goat, and maybe he was speaking English, people that call it a wure, it will prove that Adam did not really name the animals. So it's something deeper than that. That man had real capacity. Divine endowment and capacity. You know what? Fallen man is still discovering the species that Adam named. We are still discovering it today. The species that Adam named today. That is what the fall did to us. It brought us out of glory. I have a friend, I met him in NYC. I didn't even know that people are still discovering species. I thought we've discovered all the species. And he was telling me that, you know, he did his project. And they discovered how many thousand species of insects every year. I was like, what? He said, and many of them, in fact, you know why his research work is so important? Because right now, there seem to be more insects in the tropic area, places like Africa, all of that. And you know, so if people are still discovering species. Then I was watching Nat Geo Wild the other time. I discovered that they are still discovering species of animals in the ocean. There are some, they will say, which one is this one again? They will now name it. You see, the reason why that animal is behaving the way it is behaving is because Adam was the one that gave them their programming. He said, whatever he called them, that is what they were. The attributes of those, that is the capacity that Adam had. Look at this light bulb. You know, you cannot see the nakedness of this light bulb because there is light in it. And one of the easiest things we can liken glory to is light. Or look at my phone screen. See this phone screen? Even if there is a crack on the screen or the screen is dirty, as long as the screen is on and is displaying, that will not be what you will be looking at is what it is displaying. We had a glorified body before the fall. And a glorified body we will get again. Amen. Kabosilia. One of the things I know by studying scripture is that glorified body that we will get again, the reason why it will not need cloth is because you don't need to, the body can change form. It is the way you want people to see you that they will see you. How many of us have watched Terminator? Yes, Terminator. Remember those Terminators, they come naked. But when they come and they see, they say, I like this striped clothes. They will just, you know, this is my phone now. If the phone is not dead, it's on. It is what I want you to see on the screen that you will see. And that's the reason why a person with glorified body can be here now. And if he doesn't want you to see him, you will not see him. Amen. You see, Jesus Christ, when he died with ordinary body. When he resurrected with the glorified body. It is that body that can enter. That body, he literally ascended to heaven. This flesh and blood cannot enter heaven, no. It can't partake in those things. Adam was created with glory and he fell short of the glory of God. And you see, it is when you have that level of stature that you will be able to control things. When you have authority and power, that you'll be able to speak to things and they will respond. Kalabasoba. I don't know. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. You know, these are some of the things that when we understand, they will get us excited. Beyond whatever is happening in this world. Because we know that, he says, now are we sons of God. What we do not know what we shall be, but we know that when he comes, we shall be like him. For we shall see him. We shall see him. He says, our citizenship, Philippians, he says, our citizenship is in heaven, from where we expect a Savior, Christ, who will come and change these vile bodies of ours into the likeness of his glorious body. So when Jesus resurrected, the reason why you notice that sometimes his disciples who lived with him, they couldn't recognize him. And sometimes he will make himself recognizable. It's because he had a body that could do all of that. He didn't need door to come into a building. He could come in through the walls. Those are some of the attributes of the glory. So when we come, when we arrive with that glorified body, those glory, that kind of body on the earth, you will see why it will be easy for us to take over the government of the earth. Amen. How many of us know about the millennial reign of Christ? You know Jesus Christ is going to literally rule over this earth. You know that, right? If you've ever heard me preach up to 5 sermons, you may have heard that once. And when we come, we will be human beings, so. But we will be human beings that our nature as sons of God has been revealed. Right now, it is concealed. It is concealed by the flesh. And until this body is done away with during the resurrection, it cannot be revealed. But before it is revealed, amen? And that is why I just thank God for the way he has ordered this meeting. Before it is revealed, the people that the Bible says that they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. If you know the parables, study the parables that Jesus gave. I love the devotionals that Brian read today, because it points the fact that you want to understand the kingdom of God. Look at the teachings of Christ. And the epistles are an expansion of the teachings of Christ. And Jesus Christ spent a lot of time teaching about the dynamics of the kingdom.
And in one of those parables, Jesus gave the parable of the minas, the pounds. How a master gave 10 servants 10 pounds and said, do business with this till I come. And then some of them were faithful and one of them was not faithful. And when the master returned, I'm skipping a lot of this because there are many things that we want to cover and we don't have too much time. And when the master returned and it was time to give account, the person that had taken his one mina and turned it into five came. And the master said, well done, good and faithful servant. This one is different from the parable of the talents. And there is not one parable that was interpreted in two ways. Just like Jesus did not feed 5,000 and 3,000, and he fed 5,000, it is that it was interpreted in one place, and he fed 5,000, and another place. If you see, it says, Jesus said, did you not remember when I fed the 5,000? And how many? And when I fed the 4,000, and how many baskets remained? Amen. This parable of the minas is a different parable. It was captured in Luke. The parable of the talents was captured in Matthew. And there are clear differences. One of the differences in the parable of the talents is that in the parable of the talents, he gave them different talents according to the abilities that they have. So one had how many talents? 5 talents. The other had 2 talents. And the other one had 1 talent. The one that had 5 talents, when the master returned, he said, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the rest, into the joy of your master. The one that had 2 talents, he said, well done, good and faithful servant, the same reward. Then the parable of the minas, everybody had 1 mina. And there was one that took his 1 mina and turned it to 5 minas. And he says, you have been faithful. So he took his 1 mina and made 10. He said, you have been faithful. He says, you will rule over 10 cities. The one that turned it to 5, he said, you will rule over 5 cities. The one that did not use it, he said, you will not, let me paraphrase, he said, you will not rule over anything. You will go to a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. You are not going to share in my glory. You are not sharing in this kingdom. What will happen during the resurrection? Because what will happen, the trumpet will sound, pam, the sound of the, and then the dead in Christ will rise first. And we that are alive and remain in Christ will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And we will be gathered to meet the Lord. Amen? And one of the first things that he will do is that it will be time to give an account. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. After that judgment, amen, we will come and establish our government, destroy the government of this world. All of these buildings that they are building, we will destroy it. Build our own government. The kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Some of you will rule over Lokoja. This Lokoja. He said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Listen to me. You are an eternal being. In the next 1,000 years, you will still be alive. There's nobody that has ever been alive that will stop existing. Amen? In the next 1 million years, you will still be alive. If you serve Jesus now, when the people that have been running after mundane things, mammon, when their money would have expired, and they will not even have a part in the eternal kingdom, and they will be locked out. I'm not even talking about the ones that resurrected, though, or the believers that were not faithful, that were living for themselves. They are believers, so, but they are not living for to please God. Instead, they are living for God to please them. They will not be able to partake in the inheritance of the rulership of the kingdom. Then it will be clear that you were wise. That man, you know that story that Reverend Dan was giving yesterday? You see a young man, that illustration he gave, that sends the call of God upon his life, and it meant he was going to forsake an opportunity to get a job and make millions. And his family members may have said, my village people don't eventually get me. Kilo, what is going on? You had first class in electrical engineering. Shell has called you for interview. Halliburton has called you for interview.
and you are saying the Lord is calling you to serve him. Okay, where do you want to start from? Let me give you an advice. Avoid people that ask you those kinds of questions that make you feel foolish when you are walking in faith. Amen? Oh, yes. Those kind of... There are some questions that when some people ask you... You know, when... You remember when Moses was taking the people of Israel out of Egypt? You know, if somebody came to meet Moses that, okay, so what is your plan? And then Moses was put under obligation to have to explain his plan. You know, he will look foolish. But he knew that he was walking in the will of God. That one he knew. Oh, Father Abraham, when he left all of the Chaldeans, okay, you are in a city. If I heard that they had story buildings, then they were one of the most civilized people. You now live there. You now face the wilderness. If somebody came to ask him that, sorry sir, I just care about you. What is your plan? Where are you going to? Okay, you know where you are coming from. Where exactly are you going to? You know those kinds of questions will make you look. Now, do you think Abraham had an answer? But he just knew he was in the will of God. Yeah. You see, you know Abraham is still alive. God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. In that millennial reign, the Bible says Abraham was waiting for a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. There was something that Abraham saw. Hey, Jesus, help us. Can you imagine if somebody comes to meet you and tell you that this is your... Maybe you are in school. And you are really hungry. You know that sometimes students can be very hungry. Amen? You've used all your alawi, you know. Maybe your parents sent you 20,000. Halfway through the month, 20,000 has finished. And then you are almost stuck. You have gari and ewa. And all of that. Amen? And somebody now comes to meet you and say, if you drop out of this school now, abandon it, I will give you 50,000. You will not be hungry again. This hunger that is worrying you now, it will go. Amen? And you are very hungry. In fact, you think you will die. Will you abandon the degree because of 50,000? Amen. I have one car. I've been using it for some time. It's not a very new car. You know it. Let's assume I'm very hungry and I'm stuck. And you come and meet me and say, see food. That when you eat this food, I will take your car. You know, I will remind you and remind myself that it is my mates that do drive fast. With a person like this. I can't walk with a person like this. You don't value the things of the kingdom. You mind earthly things. Your God is your belly. It was a parable. And that parable is playing out today. He said, we should not be profane like Esau. Have you seen that in your Bible? Because as the man of God was saying yesterday, he said, many people are blinded to the glory of God. They are trading things that have eternal value for mundane. Things that will not last more than 30 years. In the next 30,000 years, they will be alive. And the decisions that they are making now will determine the quality of their life in the next 30,000 years. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, if you have eternal life, you should have an eternal perspective. There is a kingdom that God wants to give you and give me. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. It has not entered into the heart of man. You see, when you see the way Apostle Paul was living, he was not stupid. He left the life of a big man, Pharisee. He said, all these things, that looked, that normally made me excellent before men, I counted them but dung for the excellency of the knowledge. He saw that the knowledge of Jesus, the knowledge of God, was more excellent. Are we together? It was more excellent than running after mundane things, running after clout and title and all of that. Don't worry. If God wants you to, now many people are afraid of not having money. I assure you, if you are in the will of God, God will provide, He will supply your needs. Another digression. Inside digression. You know, Jesus Christ told the, He told the His disciples, He said, look at the birds of the air, that they neither toil nor worry, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He said, look at the lilies in the field. You know, you don't want to look gaunt. Everybody wants to look good. Amen? Yes, God made us, we want to look good. There's the kind of food you will eat that you'll be looking good. And there's the kind of food maybe if you don't eat, you'll be looking one kind. He said, look at the lilies of the field. He said, they don't toil. He said, but even Solomon in all of his glory was not as well endowed, clothed like them. What was Jesus saying? Remember, we are talking about the sons of God. They are those that are led by the Spirit of God. And then he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's our Lord Jesus and his righteousness. And all these things shall be. These things that people, the Gentiles are running after. They shall be added unto you. You know one thing about the birds of the air? The birds of the air don't hustle. They don't worry. But you know what they depend on? God has given them instincts that they follow. And as long as they follow those instincts, they will never be hungry. You will see that before famine happens, because of the instinct that God has given them. And that one, I don't think it has been messed up by the fall. They will start migrating to where they will get food. They are just following their instincts. They don't sit down to worry. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God has put it in them. You are a son of God. God has given you the Spirit. The Spirit should be like the instinct. The Spirit should be your compass. The way God has given those birds instincts. Even during famine, bird does not starve to death. When human beings that know how to plan and do 10-year plan are starving, birds don't starve. When Elijah, do you remember Elijah? Remember the raven that was coming to, I mean, that already showed you that the raven was not hungry. Amen? You know why birds are that, they cannot be stranded? It's because God has put in them some instincts. And as long as they follow those instincts, they will be fine. Amen? And one of the worst, now, how about the lilies of the field? They remain where they are planted. They don't jump from place to place. Do you notice that? You know, there are many believers, the reason why their needs are not met is because they are not where God has planted them. They say, no. I know God said I should be in Benin. But Lagos is where things are happening. My brother, Kenneth, went to Lagos. And look at the house that he's building. So, me, I will go to Lagos. They don't stay, you see, believers, they don't stay where God has planted them. And your supplies will be where God has planted you. He says, and Isaac in that land, Isaac wanted to run away like everybody. God said, stay, this is where I want you to be now. In that same land, he planted and he reaped 100-fold. Let me tell you what that meant. You know, the people that are running away, they will be selling their property at giveaway price. Because Isaac was in that land and he will just be buying land. Amen? When they come back, he is now their landlord. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. I just brought that in because when you are talking about the cross, and some of us heard the message yesterday, you will feel that maybe, hey, so this poverty thing is not going to end. Hey. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. You know the relationship between a shepherd and a sheep? It is not the sheep that leads the shepherd. It is the shepherd that leads the sheep. As long as the divine instinct that God has put in you, you follow it.
the Holy Spirit, and you are planted where God has planted you. You say, He leads me beside the still water. Is God leading you? The last move you made, was it God that moved you, or was it sight? This is where He's walking. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. So, there is a glory that will be revealed in us. I don't want to say some of the things I have been saying over the years to explain how when the Lord will come, the millennial reign will happen, the kingdoms of this world will not sit down and just allow some aliens to come from after outer space, because that's what they will tag us as. Aliens that came from outer space to come and take over the world. They will try to fight us, but they will not be able to succeed. And why would they not be able to succeed? Because they cannot. If they shoot you, the gun won't enter. If they send bomb, you can freeze the bomb mid-air. Amen. You have that kind of power and control. You have control over the elements. You can speak to a mountain and the mountain will literally move. Now listen to me. One of the things that will happen when you are, now that we are in this body of flesh. Okay, let's read on that reading, because I want to show us something. Because if you begin to walk in a foretaste of these things, you will just discover that there will be a groaning in your soul. There will be a groaning in your soul. The reason why there will be the groaning in your soul is because you have walked in a foretaste. A foretaste. Okay. It says, for the whole creation, all nature waits eagerly for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration and futility, not willingly, because of some intentional fault on its part, but by the will of Him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself will also be freed from the bondage to decay and gain entrance into the glorious freedom of the children of God. He said, for we know that the whole creation has been moaning, groaning together in pains of childbirth until now. And not only this, but we too. Tell your neighbor, we too. He says, we too, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, which is a joyful indication of the things to come. Even we groan inwardly as we await eagerly for the sign of our adoption as sons, which is the redemption and the transformation of our bodies at the resurrection. Through faith, you can tap into the powers of the age to come. Amen? So, no, it will be normal for us to speak to mountains and mountains will respond. I mean literal mountains. Because when Jesus was talking to his disciples, he was not talking about figurative mountains. It's amen. He said, you will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Through faith, as you grow in faith, you will have the ability to speak to the elements. But remember that something that is superior to your faith is the will of God. And faith does not grow outside of the context of being in Christ, having the faith of God. Amen. He says, have the faith of God. If you have faith that is even little like a mustard seed, that indicates that grace has the capacity. A mustard seed is small, but it is mighty. That massive tree you see is inside that seed. He said, you will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. Through faith, you connect with the divine, with the powers of the divine nature. The Bible says God has given us great and exceeding promises that by them we may be partakers of the divine nature. What are the promises? The promises are found in the word of God. Amen? And the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when the resurrection happens, the world will not be able to resist us. But there is a groaning within us. There is a groaning. Because we know that this is not... I'm going to tell us a story, and it will sound weird, but those of us that have ears will understand. Some time ago, we went to Meme River here. For those of us in Lokoja, you know Meme River, for baptism. There were some new converts in church. I came visiting, and they were doing baptism, and I went there. And that place we went to was so beautiful. Now, I pray that those that have ears understood. People come to church because there are fine girls in church. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Lust of the flesh. Then there is greed.
You see, that one, you can be born again and tongue speaking and be feeling very holy. Yet you are still led by greed. The reason why you moved from Lokoja to Lagos was because of greed. The reason why you moved from Nigeria to Germany was because of what? Of greed. God gave you an assignment. You saw the assignment. You are doing the assignment. And then all of a sudden, a door, in quote, opens to abandon the assignment. What's going to happen to these people I'm discipling? I don't know. God will take care of them. Maybe it's Jesus that died for them. I didn't die for them. You know, anything you want, do you know that if you want anything you want to sin, if you know scriptures enough, you'll be able to rest scriptures to support. Haven't you heard people saying, quoting scriptures like heaven help those who help themselves? Even though it is not in the Bible. So you when you are making decisions in life, one of the first questions that you should ask yourself is, am I led by the Spirit of God? Is the pleasure of God the thing that is propelling this action that I am taking? Or is it greed, my belly? Ha! Or is it fear? Please never be led by fear. You will see people that many times they will say, maybe you see them running away from danger. And they are not running away from danger, the reason why the people of the world are running away from danger. They're running away from danger because God has made it very clear to them that if you remain here, you will be killed. And it's not my will for you to be killed. I still have souls that I want you to disciple. So they are not running away in fear. They are not running away in self-preservation. They are running away in preservation of the assignments that God has given them. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There are times that God will tell you that this one that is happening, you know, there is spiritual Odechi. You know what they call Odechi? It's real. But God is saying that you are not going to have any spiritual Odechi for this one. No. You understand what I'm saying? And God told his disciples, Jesus told his disciples, say, if they persecute you in this city, he said, go to the next. But make sure that you answer these questions. Am I furnishing the will of God in this thing I'm doing? Or am I being guided and controlled by fear or by greed? May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. The purpose of the church is to cleanse us from the satanic nature. Amen? You give your life to Christ, you confess Jesus as the Lord and Savior. And before you give your life to Christ, you were a fantastic liar. Before you give your life to Jesus, you knew how to swindle your way. Maybe you were even a womanizer. There were some sins that you were committing and you used to enjoy those sins. And then all of a sudden you give your life to Jesus. And then the Spirit of God begins to work within you. And then you realize, amen? You realize that this is no longer compatible with your new nature. But you have not been able to find power to walk in the new nature. One of the things that happened in the church is that the church is where you will gather power. Amen. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. The church is the place where we come to hear the word of God. And the word of God cleanses us. The Bible says that he may purify her by the washing of water through the word. One of the things that happened to you, because you cannot, if you know you have a friend, you like him very much, but you also know that this is your friend. The last time you borrowed him 5,000, he came and said, borrow me 5K, I will return it this evening. That was 2 years ago. And you have seen him do things like that to other people. And then you now have a business and you need a chemist, someone that studied chemistry. Maybe it's a chemical company to run the business. You set the company up, you saw a business opportunity. You invested your life savings, you set up the company. You like that your friend very well. Will you put him in charge of that your company? Why? Because he's a liar. Amen? He may have a good spirit, but his soul is crooked. You see, God has a kingdom that he's preparing us to inherit. You see, when we are talking about overcoming the works of the flesh and all of these things of the sinful nature, it's so that you will be able to be high in the kingdom of God. Amen. And there is, as a man of, the emphasis that the man of God was making yesterday is, if you do not overcome here, you will not be qualified to rule and reign with him. If you do not overcome here, what are you going to overcome? You are going to overcome the flesh. And you are going to overcome the devil. Jesus said, he that overcome. Apostle John says, little children, you are of God and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus said, he that overcomes, I will give him a name that no one knows. He that overcomes. The book of Revelation is full of, the first chapter of the book of Revelation is full of promises for the overcomers. And one of the purposes of the church is to help us to overcome. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. Do you realize that? The nature, you have a nature now. There's a way you are now. Let's say you are a believer, but you still lie. You are a believer, but you still lie. That lying will limit the extent of your participation in the kingdom of God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because there are certain levels of integrity that God will require for certain levels of authority. And our promotion in the kingdom of God will be revealed during the resurrection. But it is happening now. Right now in the kingdom of God, we're not all in the same level. Do you agree? Do you think during the resurrection we'll all be in the same level? Did Jesus not say that he will tell some rule over 5 cities, 10 cities, and others rule over 5 cities? Does that not already indicate that we will not be in the same level? Ha! May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Now, let me jump to the next point. The sin problem is the problem. What is it about? You know, Reverend Dan spoke yesterday night about how that who feeds you, it is his nature that you will take upon. In fact, that is the revelation of, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by him, so they that eat my flesh and drink my blood shall live by me. Because physically speaking, we all understand that you become what you eat. Amen? Your body is really a function of the food. This is your body that you are seeing right now. It's a function, it is a result of the food that you have eaten over the years. I'm sure, for those of us that understand biology, I'm sure you can relate with that. If Jesus is feeding you with his word. Now, the man of God talked about how that the serpent fed, because the serpent was the one that commanded them to eat what God did not allow them to eat. The serpent fed them functionally. And as a result of that, they carried upon themselves the nature of the serpent. For those of us that were here, you remember. And he explained. You know, the Bible talks about how it says you are the devil was a liar from the beginning. And there is nobody here that can tell me that you needed anybody, if you were mentally okay, you needed anybody to teach you how to lie when you were a child. It comes, the satanic nature comes to us naturally. Because our fathers ate, the devil fed them. And they took upon Adam. And they took upon the nature of the devil. Now that you are born again, Jesus is feeding you with his word. And as you are feeding on his word, you are becoming like Christ. Now, remember that Jesus is the word of God. As you are feeding on Jesus, you are becoming like Jesus. First and foremost, a DNA change has happened. Because let me explain how You see this your ear that you are seeing now? This is your ear. This is not the same cells. This is made up of cells and tissues and all of that. It's not the same cells that were there 5 years ago. The ones that you are seeing now, even though it is the same shape and it's the same fingerprint and skin print, that is because of your DNA and all of those codings. These cells, it keeps replicating. The old ones are dying away and it is being and that is a function of the food that you are eating. If you eat balanced diet, all of your body system will grow properly and proportionately. Now, if you eat unbalanced diet, you may discover that a part of your body, maybe that is supposed to be secreting a particular enzyme or a particular gland, may not be secreting it properly, and it will lead to some kinds of diseases because maybe there is a vitamin that you are not consuming properly. For example, have you seen people that have goiter? Goiter is because maybe they were not consuming enough iodine. And then that gland, Dr. Emmanuel will be able to answer this question. I don't know what's the name of that gland. Tyrosine. The thyroid gland will enlarge so that it will try and compensate for the lack of iodine that it was supposed to be getting from their food. That their body is supposed to be getting from their food. Because what all of those body glands do is that they convert food to the chemicals that your body needs to function. Your body system needs to function. I'm saying all of this will explain to you, child of God, that the reason why you can feed on the word of God and the word of God is changing you to the nature of Christ is because something has fundamentally happened to your spirit. There is a change of DNA. You have the seed of God. Amen? And now that you are feeding yourself, you are growing according to that nature, according to that seed. But if you do not feed on Jesus, you will not be changed to his nature. And that's why one of the most important things that happen in church is that we feed on the word of God and we pray. Because what happens is that when you hear a word like this and the word enters your soul and the word enters your spirit, you know, you can receive a file into your computer, a setup, an installation file. But you know, in order for it to begin to profit your computer, you need to install it. One of the easiest ways to install these things is by prayer. So it will no longer be understanding. It will now be epignosis. There is an understanding that you will have. That even, and it's a result of the feeding on Jesus, and your nature has changed. That even when you want to lie, your body will fail you. Amen? Hey. When I say your body will fail you, may the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. Because something has happened, it has been happening to you. It says that your whole spirit, it begins with your spirit, soul and body, be sanctified unto the coming of our Lord. You don't want Jesus to come and then you will be ashamed. Because Apostle John captured that reality. You know, he was a very prophetic person. Because when the Lord Jesus comes, there will be people that will be ashamed. Why would they be ashamed? Because they will realize that even though they received the seed, they did not grow into the nature. And some of them will all together not even be allowed to be part of his government. Those are those that were not fruitful at all. Those are those that did not produce any extra talent. Are you with me? But depending on your level of fruitfulness, that will determine your level of greatness. Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 7 talked about those that will be great in the kingdom of God and those that will be least in the kingdom of God. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. Now, so why are we so interested in overcoming sin and walking in the divine nature? The other time I was in the supermarket. Was it the supermarket? No. It was a fast food restaurant. And those servers were really slow. And they were not doing very well. I think I stood on that line for more than 15 minutes. And there were not too many people. I think there were just like two or three people in my front. They were really slow. And you know the normal, if you know me very well, the old Abraham. Amen? That is being changed to the new Abraham. I will not stand there and just be patient. Because I saw that they are doing all, maybe they don't have the capacity. It's not as if they were not doing anything. I would have shouted on them. people are standing here? What is going on here? Then, you know, it is a process. Maybe a few years ago I would have done that. But the Lord has been teaching me that this is not our nature. This is not my nature. You see, you must have a certain nature for you to be able to increase in the kingdom of God. When you say people walking in authority, I wish I had time to explain the dynamics of authority and power. Because authority is different from power. If you know how to pray and you find yourself in an environment where people pray, you can have power. But authority, and you need both authority and power. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. Authority is the reason why you will tell God to do something and God will do it. You will ask God to do something and God will do it. Authority was the reason why Daniel, the angel, came and said, you are a man of high esteem. Angels will esteem you in heaven. Without authority, you cannot raise disciples. Even if you have a lot of power and you attract people, you will just gather goods. Seller. How did we get here? So the Holy Spirit, so I just, you know, Jesus said, learn of me. He said, for I am humble and gentle. I am meek and lowly. I was discussing with my wife the other time. I said, we identified some really mature believers that are not so young. Really mature believers that we know, both of us know. And we realize that all of them have the same behavior. We now realize that the reason was because all of them have the same. Jesus is their prototype. All of them, we noticed that all of them were gentle. Amen? They were gentle. Then all of them were humble. They didn't. Do you know what happened to Abraham? You think Abraham was always like that? That when Lot wanted to leave Abraham, Abraham told Lot, the boy that he carried from, that followed him, you choose first. And he went to choose first. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's something that God was working in Abraham. The final test that he passed was the way he received those strangers. When he received those strangers, he didn't know that they were angels. It was later that he knew that they were angels. The point was that he saw strangers that were in the wilderness. And he had a heart of love. And he welcomed them into his house. It showed that he was ready for Isaac. Because God was refurbishing his nature. God has been dealing with men. He's not today. The Bible talks about how the Spirit of Christ was in the prophets of old. I know many questions may be arising, but the point I'm making is that Jesus said, learn the object of the church, the objective of the church is that we become like Christ in character and in power. And this is not copyism. It's the result of what you are eating and you are becoming. The word of God, as it is changing you. I was on that queue and I just realized that I can't take credit for it. I found grace to be patient. I was just there. And I was just doing something else. I think I was even talking on the phone and all of that. I was just there. And then there was this guy that just came. He came like maybe 7 minutes after I came. The guy was just making noise and disturbing. And the way he was behaving was so irritating to my spirit. The Lord now reminded me, say, you were like that before. That's how you were. I assure you, I used to speak in tongues then. But I was like that. And it was just so incompatible with the divine nature. Impatient, self. Have you dealt with believers that are self-centered? And it's paining you. Sometimes it will pain you because you are the one that they did it to. But if you have this nature of Christ and you feel the pulse of Christ, it will not pain you just because you are the. No, it's not about you. It's that why are this person supposed to be a believer? He cannot have influence. He cannot have kingdom authority with this nature, the way he's behaving. A lot of the quarrels between husbands and wives is because of this thing. If husbands and wives have the nature of Christ, more than 80% of quarrels will disappear. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name.
The sin problem, and how do you overcome the sin problem? You overcome the sin problem by the cross. I'm getting to the crux of the message. You overcome the sin problem how? By what? The cross. That is the recipe for this, for sin. The problem with sin is that sin corresponds with the flesh. That thing called flesh. When the Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, it corresponds with the Adamic nature. Sin is not just about what you do, it's about who you are that produces those actions that are not compatible with the kingdom of God. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The sin problem is a problem, and how do you deal with sin problem? It is by the cross. I've been a believer for many years, and I realized that for many years, I did not understand the message of the cross. I've been hearing people saying, cross, cross, cross. Message of the... There are many people that... Now, I don't mean this in a derogatory manner at all. There are many people that preach the message of the cross that don't understand it. Because they are preaching what other people are preaching. They don't understand the message of the cross. What is the message of the cross? The Bible says, you know, Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the cross of Christ. He says it's the power of God. Let me tell you about the power of the cross. Any power that can work in you to overcome flesh is superior to the power that casts out evil spirit. Because you may be able to cast out evil spirits outside. But how about the evil that is within? The evil is out of the heart comes wickedness, adulteries, fornication. There's a power that can address it. It's called the power of the cross. Let's read Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, I'll read it on the screen. Romans chapter 6 from verse 1. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Next verse. It says, God forbid. And he didn't say, how shall we who say we are Christians continue in sin? No. He pointed to the reason why we will not continue in sin. Because you may be born again and tongue speaking and still be in bondage to certain sins. And then you realize that these sins are a work of the flesh. And the remedy to the work of the flesh, are we together? Is the cross. Because there's something that, you see, when we say the cross, it's just a word that is expressing an idea. Because, you see, Jesus Christ lived a kind of life that made it impossible for sin to have dominion over him. That life ultimately led him to the cross, the most humiliating kind of death that he could have died, he being the Son of God. The cross talks about having that same nature, that same spirit that Christ had. And that same spirit can lead you, amen? This may not sit well with us, but I'm just going to say the truth has to be said. That same spirit can lead you to death for your faith, the same way it led Jesus to death. It might lead you to death because you want to please God. The same way it led Jesus to death on the cross because Jesus wanted to please God. What did Jesus come to the world to do? Many of us will answer, he came to die for our sins. It's true. But the real thing that Jesus came to do was to do the will of the Father. The reason why he died on the cross was because it was the will of the Father. He was not living, because the average man, fallen state, lives to please himself. It's called self-preservation, self this, self that. The average man lives to please himself. But what the cross does for you is that that self is crucified. Amen? Uh-huh. So you are no longer living to please yourself. And I realize that it begins from saying it. Because if you are an addict to a sin,
And you know that this thing is not compatible with the working of the Holy Spirit in your heart. Eh? The reason why you are committing that sin is because it pleases you. Amen? And until you come to terms with the truth that life is not about pleasing me, it may take some time, but I assure you, you will get there. Life is not about pleasing. I am not living to please myself. The first question you ask is that, what does Jesus want in this scenario? One of the things I've realized is that if you live to, life is easier for a kingdom man that lives to please Jesus than for a kingdom man that is trying to bridge the two. You know, many people want to please Jesus, but they still want to please themselves. You don't have the capacity to do that. You don't. Now, he says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We are what? Dead. How are we dead to sin? Read the next verse. Open it there. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into what? His death. We're baptized into what? His death. Because as Jesus Christ lived his life, he did not live for himself. The kind of power that Jesus had, I hope you know that when the devil was tempting Jesus on the mountain of temptation, it was called temptation because it was tempting. Jesus was tempted, but he did not sin. You think Jesus did not want to eat? The Bible says he was hungry. You see, Jesus did not like to be great. It's part of everybody wants to be great. Satan came to offer Jesus the kingdoms of this world. He said, I will make you the ruler. I'll make you the richest man on earth. Just bow and worship him. Jesus said, no. It is written, thou shalt serve the Lord thy God and him only. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only shalt thou serve. That was a crucified life. That culminated on the cross. Remember that before Jesus went to the cross, that final temptation, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it was a struggle. It was such a struggle that his sweat was blood. And he said, not my will, but thy will be done. He said, no, you know that as many as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Let's read the next verse. All right, let me read it from here. Okay. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into his death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the power of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. What makes a believer to walk above the power and dominion of sin is the divine life. Is the power of eternal life. When you enter into that realm, sin will lose its power. Sin will lose its... Oh, you are still going to be tempted once in a while. But you will realize that before you were tempted, and that temptation had a correspondence in your soul. Now, you are tempted when you have entered into the economy of life. But you remember, before this, you enter into the economy of life, you must first of all pass through death. Except the corn of wheat falls to the ground and dieth. It remains alone. New life cannot come into your vessels until you die to the old life. When I was a child, I wanted to become all kinds of things. I wanted to become a pilot at some point because I had to pay pilots very well. I wanted to become an engineer because I had some relatives that were engineers and they were very successful. At some point, I wanted to become a policeman. Amen. I wanted to become so many things because the reason why I wanted to become any of those things was not because I wanted to help pursue the greater good of humanity. It was because I was pursuing the greater good for myself. When I gave my life to Christ, that didn't change because I didn't understand the message of the cross. I was just trying to use God to achieve my goals. And that's what many believers are doing today. And if that is still your life, Or that's still part of your life. Sin will still be part of your life. Sin will still have dominion over you. Until you come to terms with the fact that you are dead. This, your life, is no longer for you. Many sins that people, especially besetting sins and addictions and all of that. Like, say a believer that is struggling with cigarettes and all of that. It's because of sexual sin. It's because he enjoys it. It pleases him. And one of the first ways you solve that problem is that you must answer the question of, what is my life for? It's a fundamental question of life. Am I here to please me or to please God? Now, it will not happen instantly, yo, but as you begin to reckon yourself dead and answer those questions, a time will come that things that only have the potential of pleasing you will not be able to give you joy. It is only things that please the Father that will give you joy. A time will come, amen, are we together? You see, when you enter into that economy, you will find that grace will be sufficient to walk above sin. Even the sin that you had said that, let us not deceive ourselves. Nobody is perfect. When you enter into the economy of the crucified life, you will discover that grace will become sufficient to walk above that sin. My father in the Lord gave a story, Apostle Arame said a story. I heard him say that story last year. He said there was a woman who, her husband died. She was a young woman. The man was young. And she refused. This is a true story. She said she will be dreaming. Her husband will appear to her and say, remember, this marriage covenant is eternal. Because basically he was trying to tell her that I'm still your husband. You cannot remarry. He keeps showing up to her in dreams in different ways. When the matter was brought forward, the counsel that was given to her is that you have not accepted that this man is dead. You are still in denial. Come to terms with the truth that this man is dead. Then your life can continue. And when she accepts, you know, there are many people that their family members are dead, you know, and that's one of the most painful things. But they have not come to terms with the fact that this person is dead. Amen. And because of that, they are still broken. They have not been able to heal. And as soon as this lady came to terms with the fact that her husband is gone, he's not coming, it's not that he slept. You know, there is this part of her that was still hoping that maybe, maybe I'm dreaming. Let me wake up from my dream. As soon as she came to terms with that fact that he's dead, he stopped showing up in her dreams. All of that stopped and she could move on with her life. She could heal. Have you come to terms with the fact that you are dead to your old life? You are dead to your... Life is not about pleasing you. What gives us pleasure now is pleasing God. That is the cross life. You see, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I live by the faithfulness, amen, of the one who loved me and gave himself for me. King James says, I live by the faith of Christ. If you have not come to terms with that truth, and I pray, I don't know how, the Lord grants me utterance in Jesus' name. I don't know how, because I know from my own experience, because I had my own real struggles for years, and I realize that the only way out of struggle, you can actually be without sin. Amen. Is by the crucified life. What will happen is that, he says, I'm not ashamed of the cross, for it is the power of God. When you come to terms with the fact that life is not about pleasing me, you first of all start telling yourself that truth. Then you begin to live that life by faith. It will not happen automatically. It's a process. What you will find out will eventually happen to you is that power that is beyond anything that you have known, you begin to walk in it naturally. There is a power that is accessible to a man that has died to himself. And it is only accessible to a man that has died to himself. You know, we all want to be great. Eh? What do you want to be in life? I want to be great. We all like to be great. A time will come that being great will no longer be the object of your life. For pleasing God. Because you realize that the will of God is better than your will. Now, do you realize that one of the lessons that we get from Abraham was that Abraham knew that God had a plan for him, and he trusted God. And he knew that God's plan for him was better than his plan for him. So he obeyed God. Even when God said, kill Isaac, he said, well, if this is the will of God, this will be better for everybody. Are you getting it? I assure you, there is nothing that God's will for you. Many of us want to hammer, especially if you have not hammered before. You know what I mean by hammer? Jesus, help us. You know what I mean by hammer? God wants you to be... Hammer means that you are very successful. You have houses, you have cars, you have plenty of money in your account. You are traveling to Cayman Island for holiday. Amen? Anytime you discover that you frequent London, you buy a house there. I say, no, it's so hotel is not convenient. God's plan for you, sir, is better than anything you can imagine for yourself. He said, I know the thoughts I have for you, says the Lord. They are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. He says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. It has not entered into the heart of man the things that God has proposed for they that love him. What is this life experience doing to us? Why did God allow... You know God knows the end from the beginning. Do you know that? Somebody was asking me, my neighbor, he said, why did God allow man... Why did God allow the devil to tempt man when he knew that man would fall? He also said, why did God allow the devil... Why did God... All of those questions... You see, God was creating a universe. A kingdom of kings and priests. And in order for the people that will rule and reign in that universe to do so appropriately, there needed to be people that have capacity. Real capacity. God is raising a world of sons. And sons will demonstrate that they are sons by love. Amen? God gave us free will, because if we didn't have free will, we would not be able to love God. If somebody says they love you and they had no choice, will you appreciate it? So God gave us free will, and he now gave us the privilege of choosing whether we will love him or whether we will not love him. And all of this trial, this life, all of the sufferings of this time, because if you are born again and you are going to live this crucified life, there are going to be some sufferings. There are some things that you will deprive yourself because you love God. What it is doing is that it is demonstrating and crystallizing the love of God in your heart. The first commandment is that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Because the universe that God is creating is meant for people that love him. This current experience is a screening process. Esau, he didn't love God. Remember I told you that was a parable. Jacob was not perfect, and God was perfecting him, but he loved God. And when you love God with all your heart and with all your mind, you will love God more than yourself. Amen. I wish you will love God, because you can't love God with all your heart and still love yourself. Because which part again? If you are loving God with, if I say I give you all the water in this cup, which one will I drink again? I've given you all. Now, for those that, it says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, it has not entered into the heart of man, the things that God has proposed for who? For them that love him. My question for you today is, do you love God? Or are you using God? Have you ever dealt with people that use people? You know how you felt when you deal with people that use people? They are users. Now, have you ever dealt with people that love you? One of the things you notice with people that love you is that they will not want to use you. Instead, they will want to help you. But when you find a person that does not love people, they use people. There are many people that want to use God. They don't love God. One of the things that the cross life will do is that it will bring you into a place where you love God. You know that scripture that we like quoting? We know that all things work together for good. To who? I don't need to say more. So the next, and loving God is not, the Bible says, let us not love with word, but in deed, in action. It will show with the choices that you make, with the things you run away from, with the things you do. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. You will obey my commandments. It will show. It will show. May we love God in Jesus' name. So the object of the church is that we become like Christ. A final point. The only way to truly come to death to sin is by coming to terms with this truth, that in the kingdom of God, you no longer live for yourself, you live for the King. You live to service the purpose of the Master. And I said all of that I said earlier because I want you to know that God's plan for you is God that invented enjoyment. Amen? The Bible says, in His presence is fullness of joy, and at His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You can never, your mind cannot calculate and orchestrate pleasure that is greater than the pleasure that God has planned for you. May we not squander our divine inheritance for temporary pleasure in Jesus' name. How does the cross work? Now, when that truth has become, first and foremost, you hear it. Amen? Then you mix it with faith. What is the truth I'm talking about? The cross. Life is not about pleasing you. Life is about pleasing the Lord. Jesus Christ came to this world to do the will of the Master, to do the will of the Father. And we, as the Father has sent Him, so has He sent us. We are here to do the will of the Lord. And when you answer, when you begin to hear that and mix it with faith, that means when you hear it, you believe it. That's just what it means. When you say the word of God came to them and they didn't mix it with faith, it meant that the word of God came to them, they heard it, but they didn't believe it. Some of them, the word of God came to them, they heard it and they believed it. Because many people will hear this and say, it is not doable, it's not realistic. They don't believe. It will not work for them. There's some people who hear it and say, this is actually true. It's possible. Jesus did it. And there are people on this earth today who are doing it. And I can do it. God's will is better than my will for me. I'm no longer living for myself. I put away everything that glorifies the flesh. I live to please God. You now begin to seek to be conformed to the nature of Christ. The more like Christ you are, the greater you will be in the kingdom. The measure of maturity is the measure to which you have been conformed to the nature of Christ. Let me tell you something. One thing you can be sure of, if this becomes your reality, is that the devil will never overcome you. The Bible says we are more than conquerors. It does not mean that you will not face battles. What it means is that no matter the battle that you face, the devil may attack your prayer life, where for a season in your life you will be struggling to pray, and you cannot identify any sin that you have sinned that is making this happen, and it is an attack. But because there is a constant that is stronger than this one, is a test that the devil himself failed. Because that test that we are facing now, this screening process, the angels also had their own. A third of them fell. Those third of them that fell demonstrated that they didn't love God. The devil was their leader. He failed that test. That test that the devil failed, if you are passing that test, the devil cannot overcome you. Which is the test of what? Loving God. Loving God more than yourself. Which is a test of living to please God. There will be people that will behave in certain ways that will grit your ego. If you want to act in the flesh, you know what you would have done. But you continue to act as according to the nature of Christ, because you realize that I'm dead. You see, a man that is dead, it will be difficult for him to be offended. Some people will even call him mumu. The only thing that will offend a man that is dead to himself and that is living for the kingdom of God is when you are messing around with the things of the kingdom of God. Maybe what we are doing will now begin to hamper the effectiveness of the spread of God's kingdom. You will see the red of his eye. Because that's the same way Jesus Christ reacted. When they abused Jesus, there was a time that they said Jesus Christ's head was not correct. Oh, King James packaged it very well. He says they said he was beside himself. Jesus was not angry with them. Amen? Oh, even at some point, his own brothers, they were, by the way, I hope you know, were his younger brothers. They were saying nonsense. At least he should have slapped them. He was not offended. He said, this is your time. He said, my time has not yet. They said, anybody that wants to, that knows that he's great, he will go to the city. He will not be hiding in the village. They were taunting him. He was not offended. Do you remember the time that Jesus was offended? That Jesus was angry. Jesus wasn't angry a lot in the Bible, but there was a time he was angry when he went to the temple. And he saw the people desecrating the house of God. It is not what you do to Jesus that offended Jesus anymore. It is what you do to the kingdom of God that offends Jesus. And that's how we should be as kingdom people. That is the cross life. You know, you're always getting offended. You're angry. It's a sign that you are not dead. Your pride is still intact. Why did he talk to me? Does he not know who I am? You always want to be in front. You always want to show that you are the boss. That is not the nature of Christ, though. You know, I was explaining to someone the other time, I said many of us cannot understand the concept of the Trinity because our minds have been pummeled and damaged by the Adamic nature, by the sinful nature. Because we cannot understand how Jesus Christ is equal to the Father and the Father is sending him. Are you understanding? We cannot understand how the Holy Spirit is equal to Jesus. And Jesus will say, I will send you. And it is not a big deal. Jesus was explaining, he said, the greatest in the kingdom of God will be the servant. Do you remember that teaching? There is something about the divine nature that is at variance with the Adamic nature. And what God is doing to you daily is that he's delivering you from the Adamic. You remember, your DNA has changed. But you must eat the right diet in order for you to grow into that nature. What is that diet? The word of God. Jesus said, he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood shall live by me. There is a doctrine. What is the doctrine of Christ? You know when he said the doctrine of IK? It means the philosophy by which he's living his life. I'm not just talking about, there is a sense in which you say the things that IK teaches. But remember it says the things that Jesus Christ began to do and to teach. In order for your teaching to be potent, it must be a result of what you are doing. So when I say the doctrine of IK, it is the philosophy by which IK is living his life. When you talk about the doctrine of Christ, it was the philosophy by which Christ lived. He demonstrated it to his disciples. They saw it. And then they also imbibed it and they started living according to that philosophy. What was that philosophy? It was a philosophy of death. That philosophy took Jesus to the cross. Even when he didn't want to. But he eventually wanted to because it was ultimately the will of the Father. That is the same philosophy that should rule your life if the doctrine of Christ is what is guiding your life. And when you align with that philosophy, you will find power that you did not know existed. You think overcoming sin is by speaking in tongues, doing 10 hours every day, speaking in tongues 10 hours every day. Eh? For that time you are speaking in tongues 10 hours every day, you will have power. It's like you borrow something. You know, it's like when you plug this fan to electricity,
The power. But God does not just want you to have power because you are speaking in tongues. He wants the power to be resident in you. And I'm not downplaying speaking in tongues. The Bible says pray without ceasing. If you don't pray and pray well, you are wrong. Amen. But if you need to speak in tongues, I've been there. If you don't pray, if we don't pray before we sleep, demons will come and afflict us. It shows that there is no power in your life. Are you getting my point? Because when you begin to operate in the power of God, even if you did not pray, I'm not saying you should go and sleep without praying, no. Even if you did not pray, the demons will be, when they send them, they will say, I know they go. They will rather rebel against their oka in the kohun than to come to your place. Because they know that what they will face when they come and disturb you is always going to be worse than whatever their oga can do to them. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because they know that if maybe they bring a headache and the purpose of the headache is to take your life, and you say, Father, heaven will respond. Maybe you are spiritually low in power because the devil has been able to distract you from praying. Are you understanding my point? And the angels that have been assigned to you didn't, because the angels, as you, the more you pray, the angels, the Bible says they excel in strength. And they could penetrate into your space. Because you are a man of authority, and this authority is a function of conformity to the nature of Christ. You can, when you call the Father, he will hear. He will respond. And just because there is a possibility of you calling the Father, even though they have looked at your spiritual perimeter and they say, we can go there now. They will say, we are not going there. You see, because if we go there and we sit down on the stomach now and start jumping on it. If you say, Father, since heaven will shake something. Are you understanding my point? Tell your neighbor authority. It's a nature of conformity. It's a function of conformity to the nature of Christ. That was the doctrine of Christ. It was a cross life. And God will help us to understand that the yoke of Jesus is easy and his own burden is light. The yoke of this world, that yoke that you were born with, trying to meet up with the Joneses, trying to prove that you are this, trying to prove a point, all of those kinds of things, it is heavy. And it is not easy. When this becomes your reality, child of God, I don't know how it happens, but I know that power. You will find entrance into the power of God that will make sin to be repulsive to your soul. The same sin that you used to enjoy, and you'll be speaking in tongues, but you couldn't overcome that sin. When you, the doctrine of Christ becomes your philosophy of life, it will align you so that the power of heaven will flow into your life, and then you will find power over the works of the flesh. The solution to the work of the flesh is the cross. Now, there is another mystery. Because we are talking about, the devil is actually very clever. No, the devil has been at this for a very long time. And he knows some of the possibilities that we are still learning. Do you understand? What is this other mystery? Is the mystery of demons. I believe it is not a coincidence that the first sign that followed they that believe is that they will cast out devils. Now, the reason why I believe the Holy Spirit wanted us to emphasize on this matter of sin. Some people say don't talk about sin. I don't know. The Bible talks about sin. Right? And the Bible is my example. And we are not talking about sin to make you feel guilty. We are talking about sin so that we will not be slaves to sin. And it is possible for us not to be slaves to sin. It's possible for the prince of this world to come and not find anything in us. And that is our portion in Jesus' name. Now, when the devil finds that a believer has opened the door of his life to a certain kind of sin, the next thing that the devil tries to do is that he begins to introduce demons. What did I say? How long have I preached? I've already preached for almost 2 hours. He begins to introduce demons to aid the enterprise of that sin. So, there is the power of the flesh.
And the power of the flesh cannot be trumped by the power of your will. In fact, the power of the flesh, which is the power of sin at work in our members, cannot be trumped. If you congeal the power of the devil and put it in a capsule and say, swallow, you know what I mean by power? And say, swallow it. Now, resist sin. You will not be able to use the power of the devil to resist sin. It's stronger than the power of the devil. So, your will, sin will make a mockery of your will. You know, you can do New Year resolution and say, this year I will not lie again, blah, 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 blah. No problem. No problem. You know, it will be very sweet after 2 years, if you can keep it for 2 years. Then at the very critical point, a curious moment, when you are under, you know, it's not every day in school you write exam. You know, you can miss school for 4 days, but please don't miss school when they are writing exam. Because you may miss school for 4 days and still have an A, right? But if you miss school when they are writing an exam, no matter how good you wear, you will fail. So there are such moments in life. Jesus Christ had that moment. When his ministry was about to start, the Spirit of God came upon him and drove him to the wilderness, and he fasted. It was a moment that heaven... Dr. Emmanuel was talking about that moment sometime ago when he was raising a prayer point. You remember? There are those moments when it's as if the cloud of witness, everybody is watching you. It's a moment of... You know, normally promotion happens with after examination. I have discovered that in the kingdom of God is also like that. Because even our Lord Jesus Christ, before he started walking in the power of the Spirit and all of that, he first of all went through a process of examination. Amen? Now, the devil will not bother you, because that's it. He knows that you cannot conquer sin by your will. He will just leave it there. Then when you now enter that curious moment, you will fall flat, face down. You will know that you had not conquered it. And all of the methods that you thought you had employed, without understanding the cross and adopting the doctrine of Christ, amen, you will discover that it was never sufficient to handle the subject matter of sin. Because the answer to sin is the cross. I remember I said the cross is not just that, this thing here, cross. That's not, because when we say the doctrine of God, many people just think of that. That's not, it is just a phrase used to illustrate a body of understanding. And that was the life that Jesus lived. And that's the life that we must live. As you begin to make daily decisions, you wake up in the morning, you ask the Holy Spirit, when you really want to please God, if you are writing, you can write this down. If you really want to please God, you will hear the voice of God. If you really want to please God, when you have come to the point where you really want to please God, you will hear the voice of God. God will lead you. God does not waste his voice. His voice will not come to you when he knows you will not obey it. But when it has been demonstrated, and I don't know why God does this. You know, the kingdom of God is very angelic. There are many things that when God is doing, he does through his angels. God knows what is in your heart. God knew that Abraham loved him. And he knew that Abraham was going to do anything that he says he should do. But why did God wait for Abraham to actually practically, really carry Isaac to Mount Moriah before God now released, opened up a dimension and say, and now I know. Come on, God, did you not know before? Because there is something called the demonstration of righteousness. Because when God is blessing you, amen, even the angels will not be able to say that, God, you are not being fair. Because when, are we together? So this wanting to please God, it will show in the small things that you are doing. It will demonstrate itself. God will see that you are ready to hear his voice over the big things, including those voices that you want to hear.
Amen.
When you are demonstrating faithfulness in obeying the instructions of God that you know are from him, the ones that are documented in scripture, the will of God that you can perceive. You know the Lord has put it upon your heart to be doing evangelism in your neighborhood. And then you know that it is consistent with the word of God. The Holy Spirit wants people to be saved. But because it is not convenient, because you don't want people, the last time you went for evangelism with evangelism units, people that did not reach me were talking to me anyhow. You know, I used to tell the people that we do evangelism with in my community, I said one of the advantages of evangelism is that it will help you to be humble. Amen. You know, if you are not humble, you cannot do evangelism. Because you'll be preaching to people that, according to the measurement system of this world, you say, I'm more than him. And then they will be, because you are, normally they will not misbehave. They will not walk out on you. Are you with me? But because you are evangelizing to them, they will say, please, I don't have time. And they walk out on you. I'm like, is this not the boy that was walking on my tire 3 days ago? And you will now learn to humble yourself. A time will come that those thoughts will stop coming, because the reason why those thoughts are coming is that it's once we are awakening something in you. When the devil sees that these thoughts are no longer useful, they will stop coming. Because remember that the nature of Christ is humble. The nature, the satanic nature, which is the Adamic nature now, is proud. The nature of Christ is truthful. God does not lie. He cannot lie. The satanic nature is untruthful. The devil is a liar. He was a liar from the beginning. The nature of Christ is gentle. Amen. I gave an example of when I was in the restaurant. Gentleness was staying on that line and being patient and being kind, in spite of the fact that it wasn't convenient. The circumstances were not convenient for me. I was kind in spite of that. Going with the Adamic nature, you will not be gentle. You will be brash. You will flare out. You treat people. May God help us in Jesus' name. Have you ever dealt with people and your spirit was bruised because of the way they spoke to you? You can be misbehaving and you are dealing with a gentle person, and it is wisdom that will make you to know that you are misbehaving. They will not be harsh. And even when they are telling you the truth, and the truth sometimes can be bitter, it will not be harsh. May the Lord give us understanding. When you meet a really gentleness does not mean you are quiet. It's one of the attributes of gentleness. But it is about, look up the meaning of gentleness in the dictionary. Jesus Christ is meek and lowly. Meek there means humble. Lowly there means gentle. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. When the doctrine of Christ becomes your own doctrine, the doctrine of your life, and the devil now knows that this temptation will not fly if I cannot demonstrate to him how this thing will please God. You know, there are some temptations that, you know why Jesus Christ did not do all of the things that the devil wanted him to do? Because he knew that this is not what God wanted me to do. He wasn't receiving command. His command base was not, it was from heaven. If he was ever going to perform a miracle, he needed to receive command from heaven. Remember, it says, it is as I see my Father doing that I do. That was how Jesus lived his life. So if you cannot demonstrate to Jesus that this thing will please the Father, especially if you can demonstrate to him that this thing will not please the Father, he will not do it. He will rather die than to do it. May God bring us to the point where we would rather die than displease God in Jesus' name. When that truth has become crystallized in your soul and it has formed the shape of your heart, you will just find that the power of God to say no to sin will become abundant in your life. The second thing I say is that during the time of exposure and ignorance, the devil introduces demons. And it's not a coincidence that The first sign that Jesus Christ gave to us as believers was that in my name, they shall cast out devils. Because one of the things that you will do a lot, if you are a believer, is that you must know how to handle demons. If you do not know how to handle demons, that was the first sign. The second sign was that they will speak in new tongues. Right? Mark chapter 16. When a sin, an entanglement, a work of the flesh is a result of demonic activity, even after applying the principle of the cross, you will still find that you don't have authority over it. Is still the, you know, the cross attacks the flesh. Amen. But when this temptation is not coming from the flesh, there is an external propellant for it. And you have adopted the doctrine of the cross and the doctrine of Christ, and you realize that there still seems to be a missing link. You are still falling weak, and you have still fallen prey to this work of the flesh. What then is the solution? The solution is what Jesus Christ said we should do to demons. Let me tell you this. Jesus told his disciples, he said, "Behold, I give you authority to trample over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." The ability to really deal with demons. Apostle Rame, my father in law used to teach, has thought about this. I still remember he thought about this some years ago, I think 2016, when he was differentiating authority and power. And one of the things he taught was that one of the ways, the people that can deal with demons the most, because most of the time, especially when you are dealing with mature demons, when you are dealing with principalities, it's not by force that they live. Power does not scare them. They know power. I hope you know the devil has power. The Bible says that he may deliver us out of the power of darkness. There is power does not scare the devil. The Bible says that God has given him a name that is above every other name, that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. What does that depict? It's authority. From my experience, I realized that, I still remember there was a dream, should I share? Okay, there was a dream I had where I was casting out a demon in that dream, and the demon was not leaving. Then I now introduced myself to the demon. I called my name. And I said, the demon now left. So when that thing happened in the dream, I have done it several times in real life. Some of you will see where I'm doing deliverance. It can be very funny. The reason is because many times there are some demons that respect when you shout, they will go, because maybe your energy level is higher than their own. But when you talk about those mature demons, you know, the devil was the anointed cherub. He knows power. What he respects is authority. So he says, "This sign shall follow they that believe. In my name they shall what? Cast out demons." There was a time that the disciples of Jesus were trying to cast out a demon, and the demon did not go. Do you remember that story? And then when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he commanded the demon to go, and the demon left. And then his disciples came to meet him later. You know, they must have been a little ashamed, you know. I mean, because they brought the people, because they were already doing miracles. And they said, "Why couldn't we cast out this demon?" And Jesus Christ said, "It is because of unbelief." He said, "How be it? This type does not go out, but by prayer." And if you use King James Version, and many other translations, is we add and fast. But some of you also are using very good Bibles. I say this type does not go out but by prayer. The reason why that your translation, if you use like New English Translation or New Living Translation, is not because the people that translate it are obnoxious and they removed fasting. Amen? It is because You will see the explanation there if it's a good Bible. You see, newer manuscripts add and fasting. But those Bibles are from older manuscripts. What are older manuscripts? Older manuscripts are Bibles that were written from... Now, those days, they didn't have photocopy and printing machine. Every parchment of scripture was handwritten. And because it was handwritten, there was tendency for there to be addendums. Are you with me? So if this is the original copy of this thing I wrote here now, and we've done the experiment before where if I whisper something to you and I say you should whisper it, by the time it goes around the room, what I will hear will be different from what I said here. That's what happens when with human error. If this is the original copy of what I wrote here, just this page, and people are copying it by hand, by the time they copy it several times, maybe several hundred times, what I wrote here will end up filling two pages. Because they will add something. Some people will try to add something to help people understand it. Are you understanding my point? So it wasn't because they were obnoxious. But here's what the Lord Jesus was saying here. This type does not go out but by prayer. Jesus Christ told his disciples how to handle demons. He didn't tell them to pray to handle demons. He told them to cast them out. This is the normal way we handle demons. You, unclean spirit, it is usually more effective when you can identify the kind of spirit that you are dealing with. We are not doing deliverance teaching. You, this unclean spirit, in the name of Jesus, I command it to come out. When you command that demon to come out, expect it to come out. Because you are not acting on your own authority and on your name. You are acting as a representative of Christ. And you obey Christ, so they will obey you. Amen? Amen? Amen. Now, Jesus said this one does not go out but by prayer. There was a lot of unbelief in the environment. In order for your command to work, there needs to be faith. Right? But when you find a situation in which you have commanded, because they commanded and commanded and demons did not go, what next do you do? You ask the Father. You may not have the requisite stature to handle this demon, but you have access to somebody because of your nature. Because you now have his nature. You are his son. And there is no demon that can resist him. So, what those disciples were supposed to do in that situation was that after commanding the demons and say, come out, and the demons did not come out, they will pray to God and say, Father, handle this demon. And the demons will come out. Why? The reason why they can have that access. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. Have you ever been through a situation, maybe you are praying for the sick and you lay your hands and pray, command the infirmity to go and the infirmity does not go. And then maybe you walk in discernment of spirit. It's a spiritual gift. And then you realize that this matter is not a matter of commanding. You need to beg God. But you know, it's not everybody that can beg God, and they are begging will go far. You understand what I'm saying? If you have a house girl or a staff, and you have determined that you want to sack that staff, and another fellow staff that is lower than him is coming to beg you, will the begging work? But if your friend that you respect comes, and that staff has come to beg your friend to beg you, you know it can work. Why? Because that your friend has stature with you. People, there are men like that have stature with God, that can beg God and say, God, this person is afflicted, but God. And God will deliver that person because of... You know, you can be a friend of God. You cannot be a friend of God until you have been conformed to the nature. You are somebody that is always shouting and getting angry and slapping people. You can't go far in this adventure of friendship with God. You will irritate him. You know, it's not everybody that can be your friend. No, God loves you, but he'll be dealing with you from afar. Because if he's dealing with you from near, he will wound somebody. Are you understand? Jesus said, he that obeys me, he said, my Father and I will come and make our abode with him. May God help us to have the divine nature. There are some houses that Jesus cannot dwell in because he does not like the way the husband is treating the wife. And the wife, anytime they are quarreling, he will just walk aside. Because sometimes he wants to slap somebody. And may Jesus not slap you. Like, why is he so on this nipple? May God give us wisdom in Jesus' name. So that stature is what discipleship is a training curriculum, is a training program. It's not just a teaching program. Jesus was, you know, the church is apostolic. The hallmark of the apostolic ministry is the ability to replicate. He says, go and make disciples of nations. He was talking to his apostles. Baptizing them in the Father and Son, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. When the nature, that training process has happened to you. Because, you know, what happened was that Jesus did that training for his 12 apostles. And for the other, did not just 12. He had disciples, then he had 12 apostles. Now, their assignment was the same way Jesus trained them. They were also supposed to train other people. Some of you will not know how to pray until somebody trains you. Amen. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. The purpose of the church is people that are ahead of you are supposed to. That's why you cannot be a Christian that will go far if you are not humble and submissive. You cannot tell your mentor that this is what is happening in my life. You don't have mentor. Because everybody can read the Bible. You will not go far. Eh? Because you went to school and you can read more than the people in your church. You can speak English. They have something that you will never have until you humble yourself and learn from them. Jesus Christ said, learn of me. You will also learn of other people that have gone ahead of you. He said that we be not slothful, but followers of those who through what? Faith and patience. When this training has happened, what's the difference between training and teaching? Teaching is what happens in school. Training is what happens with an apprentice. An apprentice, at the end of your apprenticeship, you know you can go to school and you won't know engineering. But if you were an apprentice and you were learning mechanic and you graduated, Abba, you must know it too. If not, amen. It is not just a curriculum teaching. It is a training. And when you train, sometimes you say, do it. That's why Jesus Christ, after some time, he will tell his disciples, go and preach, cast out the devils. Because everything that Jesus was doing, they were also supposed to be able to do with time. And I put the challenge towards child of God. Everything that Jesus Christ is doing, he also wants us to do. In fact, he said, greater works shall you do. May God help us in Jesus' name. The reason why we are not doing the works of Christ and we are not doing greater works is because our training is not yet. Maybe we have run away from training. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. And as that happens, you discover that as you have the nature of Christ, you have authority, you can talk to God and demons will come out because you have a communion with the Father. You see, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. If you don't walk in the light and our fellowship is with the Father, if you and you see that fellowship with one another is because you are walking in the light, you are walking in the, where does light come from? The entrance of thy word give light and understanding to the simple. The word of God becomes the doctrine of Christ, becomes the standard for your life, and you are walking with believers. Jesus, I have to close now. And you are walking with them. What will happen is that one of the first things that you will notice is that you are able to have fellowship with your brethren. You know, there are some believers that don't have any brethren that they have fellowship with. Everybody is offending them. Everybody is quarreling with them. Because people are not perfect. But as you walk in the light, you just discover that what the light will do, because you will be gentle and you will be humble, it will be easy for you to walk with people. Even people that hitherto before would have been offending you and you couldn't stand them. They are rude, they are this, they are that, but you are still able to have fellowship with them because you are walking in the light. You are able to love cover a multitude of sins. You are walking in love. And that is one of the first manifestations. The next one is that, and our fellowship is with who? It's with the Father. The summary is that as you become conformed to the nature of Christ, and the Spirit of God leads you, you will be able to share in the inheritance of the life of Christ. He said, if we are conformed to him in his death, we'll also be conformed to him in his resurrection. We'll also be united with him in his resurrection. May God help us in Jesus' name. Brother, this is a call to discipleship. It's a call to become like Christ. You should do regular appraisal of your life. The last time you quarreled, how many of us remember the last time we quarreled? Amen. Why did you quarrel? Would Jesus have quarreled? Was it because of your ego? Because when, I'm not telling you this to make you feel condemned. I'm telling you this so that you use it to appraise you. Because examine yourself to know whether, so you may not know that you are far from the goal. Paul said, I press for the mark of the price of the high calling. You may not know you are far, but check your life. How much are you more like Christ today than you were last year? Or the same things that were offending you because of pride, you know, is still offending you today. That is why there will be no authority. And when there is no authority, there can be no, you will, I wanted to say some things, but if this was word encounter, we say it, but this is not word encounter. Because word encounter, we've been teaching for long, we've been hearing ourselves for long, but this is not word encounter. Because some of those things are tough. May the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. May we become more like Christ. It may look simple, it may look, you know, it may look as if it's not a powerful thing. But when you are more like Christ, you just call that your authority quotient is increasing. A demon is misbehaving. You say, Kai. You don't even shout, Kai. And the demon stops because you said, Kai. Because when you said, Kai, it wasn't you that the demon heard. The demon heard Christ. Because that man that said Christ had Kai has been conformed so much to the nature of Christ that his Kai, what the devil heard was Christ saying Kai. Let us pray.
Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. Oh, Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. So far, I never take this. In my heart. In my heart.
Listening to me, you have been crying to God about a besetting sin, an addiction, and the Lord wants to set you free. The Lord says, as you employ these teachings and continue in my word, you will discover that you are free. We've done all of that and we lay hands on people and they scream. But I realize that if you do not continue in his word and you are a disciple, you will not stay free. You will always be coming for the next meeting because you are looking for freedom that you know is in Christ, but it has not become your own. Going from meeting to meeting, looking for freedom. But if only you will continue in my word. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord says, if only you will continue in my word. And adopt the doctrine of Christ. And live for the purpose of the kingdom. You will be free. He says, two people are following. Two people. I don't know whether they are online or they are here. The Lord will set you free.
In my heart. In my heart. In my heart. Lord, I want.
I'm not to be afraid of death just for death. No. something is wrong. You cannot preach the gospel because they may kill you. You cannot preach the gospel because you may lose your job. You cannot share the word of God because your reputation will die. Your reputation. You know, there are some people that like you so much. Ayo, when you start showing them who you really are and preaching the gospel to them, your reputation will die. They will not like you again. The Lord must deliver us from the fear of death. That's one thing the Lord is saying now. Jesus was not afraid of death. He was not.
In my heart, Lord, I want to be like Jesus. In my heart.
Can we lift up our hands to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. I cannot help myself. If you do not help me,